Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
All right. Happy Mother's Day. That was silence. Happy Mother's Day. Where are the moms at? Yeah. All right. I asked my dad about that clock. I'm like, do we need a clock? He's like, the clock's for you, Jesse. So apparently I'm the problem and you all have to deal with the clock now. I don't know. Well, happy Mother's Day. I'm excited to be here this morning. Who's excited to be in church this morning? Yeah. Amen. My mom is not here and my wife just walked out. So I don't know why I'm here. No, I'm kidding. Excited to be in church. Why don't we just have the moms stand up and spiritual moms as well? I want you guys just to stand up and let's pray for you and thank you, because the world is a better place because there are godly moms raising godly children. Amen. And before we pray for you, I just want to read a quote from Spurgeon. He says, "Those who think that a woman detained at home by her little family is doing nothing think reverse of what is true. Scarcely can the godly mother quit her home for a place of worship. However, dream not that she is lost to the work of the church. Far from it. She is doing the best possible service for her Lord. Mothers, the godly training of your offspring is your first and most pressing duty. Christian women, by teaching children the Holy Scriptures, are as much fulfilling their part for the Lord as Moses did in judging Israel or Solomon in building the temple." You know, we're building, not we, sorry, women, but also dads, you know, come on, the two of us here. No, but mothers, you guys, what you're doing, you're building the church inside your own house by sharing the scriptures, by loving, by honoring God. The next generation is set up in a pretty good place, amen? So let's just pray for the moms in this place. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, God, for the moms represented here, Lord. Thank you for their love, God. Thank you for their service. Thank you that they are filled with your Holy Spirit as they trust in you, God, and their kids, Lord. They're being raised up to know you, Lord, to honor you, God, to follow hard after you, Jesus. And I just thank you so much, Lord, that today, Lord, the rest of this week, you are going to fill these moms with your spirit, and you're going to do something remarkable in their families. And I pray, God, that when they enter their house, God, they would feel your presence there as well. And I pray that every single child in this house would walk with God the rest of their days. In Jesus' name, amen. And we do have flowers in the back somewhere. Mom? Yeah? My grandmother as well. Could we give her a round of applause, please? Come on. My mom became Gigi. She's now great-grandmother, and we're super thankful for you. So, apparently I told on Father's Day as well. I'm now the family guy, I guess. You know, if you guys have anything coming up, I could be there, you know. Take your kid to work day. That's my thing now. I'll be there, all right? So, super excited for Mother's Day, and I'm excited for this message. You know, it landed on Acts 4, and I thought I was going to land on Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira. You know, that would have been an awkward message for Mother's Day. I don't know what I would have done with that. But I landed on a good one for Mother's Day. So I'm excited for what God wants to say and do. And let's pray and ask him to use his word, which he does. Let's agree that he does. Amen. So Lord, I pray right now that you would just anoint our hearts, God. I pray that all distraction would leave, and I pray that we would lift you high in our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would speak to us, Lord, and you would do something great in your church. And we love you, and we lift you up. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right. So, just to catch some people up, if you weren't here, what has been happening over the last few weeks, Easter Sunday, Jesus died and he rose again. I hope that's not a shocker for anyone. You know, he died, he rose again. Amen. That is the greatest sentence the world has ever heard. Jesus died and rose again. And from that point on, after he rose again, for 40 days, he had this express seminary where he was the professor teaching his disciples the entire word of God. And all the 3 years of learning that they had with him, suddenly, when they saw Jesus glorified, it all made sense, okay? And then he ascended to the Father, seated at the right hand of God, and he sent his Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And the people were filled. It says all of them, all of the people in the upper room, the church, every single one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they testified of him. And 3,000 people get saved. Who wants to see that today? Who would like to see 3,000 people in Lansdale get saved? Amen? So, Jerusalem was shaken by the gospel. And you know what? The gospel's still shaking the world today. And I pray the gospel is still shaking our hearts today. I don't want to get dead. I don't want to get just jaded and comfortable with the good news, because the gospel is not a one-time thing that you go to an altar call and now you're good. The gospel is every single day. The good news of Jesus for today, for me, even though I've been walking with God for 30 years now. I've saved it four. Okay, I'm not that old, all right? 30 years now, the gospel means more to me today than it ever did. Today, it means more than it did last week, last month, because Jesus' good news that he saved me, he lives in me, he has a purpose for me, and he's coming again, matters more and more every day. It's still true. So let's read chapter 4. Oh, so to finish what happened over the last few weeks, they go to the temple. They heal a man who was lame, who could not walk since birth. 40 years he could not walk. He gets healed. The whole city goes crazy, and more people get saved. And now they're about to get arrested, so the fun begins, all right? Acts chapter 4. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Some believe that that actually was just the men numbered, so you add in women and children, and this church got really big in like 2 weeks. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Sounds a lot like what they did with Jesus, right? "How are you doing this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." Amen. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. Underline that. They had realized that they had been with Jesus. That is the title of this message. They had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. No one can say anything against the work of God. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred and said, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them, and it's evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." Good luck. Good luck. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. You persecute the church, it grows stronger, right? When you try to crush the people of God, Jesus shines in them. I just think it's hilarious that they didn't realize that. They killed Jesus, and he rose again from the dead, and now he's filling people with his Holy Spirit. So, I understand why the rulers and the leaders, though, were confused. Like, wait a second. They marvel. These guys are uneducated. They're untrained. Like, who are these people? And they seem a lot like this Jesus guy. Like, what happened? Wait, weren't they the same ones who, like, were arguing about who was the greatest just like a few weeks ago? Like, they're kind of prideful and full of themselves. Weren't they missing the point of most of Jesus's sermons and, like, arguing about what it possibly meant? The parables they were confused by. They're telling Jesus he shouldn't die, you know? And Jesus called Peter Satan. "Get behind me, Satan." And then Peter even denied that he ever knew him because he was afraid. Like, what happened between a few weeks ago to now? What changed? And the rulers are wondering and marveling. And the truth of what changed is the cross. The cross is what changed it all. Because now they truly knew who Jesus was. They now fully understood him and why he came. He was the Messiah who laid down his life for his friends. He was the Savior of the world who took the sin off of them so they could have eternal life. And as he rose again, and they understood who he was, he then filled them with his Holy Spirit. And that's what's changed. They were just normal, ordinary men, full of the flesh and sin and all of that stuff. And then the cross. And Jesus was fully revealed to them, and his Holy Spirit filled them, and now they're transformed. And you know what? Jesus is still risen. Amen? If Jesus is still risen, and his cross is still powerful, and the Holy Spirit is still filling people, then this can happen today. What we see in this passage can happen in me. What you see in this passage can happen in you. There is no difference. Nothing has changed. The only thing that's changed is Jesus is coming back sooner. The time is nearer, and he's going to be back soon. So if you want to be transformed, if you want to truly live this life in a powerful way for him, the same way is laid out for you. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. Follow him. Receive him. You can be with him too. So my 3 points for today, and some of you are worried I haven't made a point yet. My 3 points are: we get to be with Jesus. We get to. We get to be with Jesus. We need to be with Jesus. Looking for my water. We get to be with Jesus. We need to be with Jesus. And the world needs us to be with Jesus. Amen? So we get to. I don't ever want what Jesus has done for me to ever wear off. Not its power, but what it means to me. What he means to me. As soon as we start to lose sight of how amazing he is, and the weight of the glory of the cross, as soon as we start to forget that, this whole thing starts falling apart. We can't ever forget. We can't ever let it lose its power and meaning to us. I want to pull up 1 Peter chapter 1. Think about this, how incredible this is. "Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully." They've inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow." Thank you, Pop. Appreciate it. "So searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, the things which angels desire to look into. What we have clearly written out for us here, for thousands of years, guys, think about this. For thousands of years, mankind has longed to just catch a glimpse. What is it going to be like? We hear this Messiah is coming. There's this problem in the world of sin. What's going to happen? For thousands of years, mankind has waited for Jesus to show himself. Even in the heavens, the angels longed and desired to look into what this would look like, what this would mean, how would this come about. Think about that. For thousands of years, they wanted to know what we have and what we're talking about today, May 10th, 2026. They longed to know the new covenant, the forgiveness and mercy and grace and love found in Jesus Christ. And you know, it's not just them who are searching for it. Every single person in this entire world, deep down, is truly searching and wanting Jesus, whether they know it or not. Every single one of us, deep down, is wanting eternity with God, even if they don't know it, and they fill it with other things. It says in Ecclesiastes that God has hidden eternity in the hearts of man. God has hidden eternity in the hearts of man. And you know, this makes sense. Like, think about the fact that every single person dies. All animals die. Everything dies. And somehow we're still, like, shaken up by it. Like, of course we are. We weren't created to die. Adam and Eve were never meant to die. We are meant for eternity with God. So death kills. Like, it hurts. When a loved one dies, it takes forever to grieve that. That is a hard thing. Because we weren't meant to see death, because eternity is hidden in our hearts. And also, we were meant for eternity with God, right? God is the only one who truly satisfies. That's why when someone doesn't have God, nothing satisfies. All the good stuff in life feels completely worthless and empty. You become depressed and anxious and worried, and everything just feels meaningless. The same man who said, God has hidden eternity in the hearts of man, Solomon in Ecclesiastes, is the same one who says, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless under the sun, because he walked away from God. Praise the Lord, he came back, but he walked away, and everything became meaningless. So in the heart of mankind, everyone longs for eternity with Jesus. And I want to lay out the power of the gospel and set the stage just from the beginning to the end. And maybe there's someone in here who's newer to church and has never heard this, but I know as I went through this, it just was so powerful, guys. Like, it really, really hit me in the heart. And you think about this problem of not having eternity with God forever is in the very beginning, the first two people messed it up, right? Sin. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, and forever they were supposed to be alive with him. And then they sinned. And if God is perfect and sin is disgusting, look at this world. Think about the worst of the worst, that is sin. Now think about how God feels about it, who is perfect. And we're sinful and we think it's bad. So if God is perfect and sin is awful, then sin cannot be in the presence of God. If God is life and sin separates you from God, then sin causes death. So, the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, we now die. And if we die in our sins, we are still separated because of the sin, separated from the mercy and goodness of God. So the very first sin created eternal separation from God. And if you die that way, that is hell. Eternal separation from the goodness and the mercy of God. But praise Jesus, it didn't end there. Amen. The Bible kept going, and as it went through the book and through the years and the thousands of years, God was coming closer and closer and closer, revealing more and more of who he was to his people, bringing about what it was like in the garden, closer and closer and closer. And as he was speaking, he gave the law. And the law was a thing that pointed to Jesus. It showed us our need for Jesus. I mean, think about it. One time a year, the priest could go into the glory of God to offer a sacrifice for sin. So the blood and the offering is what made him be able to come into the presence of God. Jesus, right there. God was revealing who he was, and he kept coming closer. And then the prophets kept speaking and speaking and revealing the character, the nature, and the attributes of God, and saying he's coming. And then he comes. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, that you came. Born as a baby to a little Jewish woman, young, a virgin, Mary. Think about the creator of the world comes in and becomes fully man, the creation. The judge of the world, it says he's the judge of the world. The judge of the world comes and steps down and takes your sin upon himself. The sin you're sinning is against God. So you're sinning against the judge, and the judge steps down and takes it on himself. And then he dies with your sin on him. So the justice of God is satisfied, and death no longer is required. And the sin that was on him, it died as well and lost its power over every single person who believes. Sin does not have power over the saints anymore. Amen? So now death and sin has been dealt with, and Jesus rises again. That is eternity. So now sin is gone. Death has been dealt with. Eternity has been secured. And the final thing, no longer do they have to go to the temple to see the presence of God. But the temple curtain was torn, and the Spirit of God fills people now. Hallelujah, man. That is crazy. That is beautiful. That is the gospel. And to make it even more amazing in Revelation, we went from Genesis to Revelation. Well, one, he's coming back to restore all things. Think about it. He's going to restore things to be like the garden again, a new heaven and a new earth, so we can walk completely with him. And this whole plan, this was not plan B, guys. This was, the cross was not a second thought, like an afterthought, like, oh man, they messed up. Now we got to figure it out. Revelation 13:8 says, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Before he created Adam and Eve, before he laid the foundation of the world and created man, he had it in his heart. They're going to sin and I'm going to have to die. Let's do it. Let's do it anyway. That is sacrificial love. That wasn't like a reaction. It was the thing that came before the sin ever happened. That is beautiful. That is Jesus. That is the Jesus who we're here for today. He's the one that we serve and we love, and that is the good news of Jesus. And can we just give him a round of applause right now? Come on. We get to be with him. We get to be with that person. We get to be in a relationship with him. And I don't want to take that lightly. This isn't something to check off the box on a Sunday. This is the eternal God who wants to meet with me and with you. And if you didn't realize what happened when you got saved, I hope you do a little bit more. I pray that you would realize that you got everything and gave nothing. There is nothing you could bring to deserve this. You gave nothing and you received everything in him. We get to be with him. And you know, Peter and John, they realized this. This is why they were changed, because of that right there. The actual good news of Jesus is why they were transformed. And they saw something was special about Jesus and they wanted to be with him. They said, we get to be with Jesus? Before this was even revealed, he called them out of fishing, the industry of fishing. He said, follow me. And without hesitation, they dropped their nets. They left their family. They left their possessions. They left their house. They left the cares of what people thought about them, that they were crazy, because they saw what? They saw he was worth it. He was worth following. He was worth devoting their lives to. And you know, that is the Christian life. He is worth it. Is he worth it today, this morning? Is he worth it? Man, he's worth it. We get to be with him, and it's an incredible, incredible thing. But we also need to be with him. We need to be with Jesus. You know, Maria and I lived in Nashville for 7 years. We had both of our kids down there, Bo and Van, and we actually moved back up 2 years ago on Mother's Day. So today is the actual 2 year anniversary, like on Mother's Day. Yeah, pretty cool. And in our backyard, we had the woods and all, and all these vines would just grow up. And, sorry, I'm about to burp. It's gonna be gross. Okay, we're good. So, in the backyard, there was a fence, and the woods just wanted to take over. It's kind of funny. You let nature do its thing, and it just makes everything nature again. Your yard, you're always fighting to keep nature at bay, right? So these vines started growing up, and at first, they're kind of cool. And I was like, hey, they look nice. And then they grew and grew until, like, you know, Maria's like, it's looking pretty bad. Can you do something about it? So I do the quick, like, weed whacker buzzer across the thing, and it looks fine for a day. Connor, you know how it is, landscaping. You can make things look briefly good, and then the leaves grow again. You got to deal with it. So we buzzed it back, and then it kept growing and growing, and, you know, it's so funny. I don't know if any of the other guys are like me, but like little issues, I'm like, yeah, I can do that later. Yeah, that's not a big deal. Yeah, I'll deal with the vines later. They're not that bad. And then when it's a big deal, you're like, it's happening now. It's like you're like putting off important things because you got to fix the vines right now. Like you're ready to go to war. You know what I mean? So the vines, I realized, looked out the back window. They were bad. So I pushed off our plans, and I'm back there. I have a hatchet. I have a pickaxe, you know, a shovel, and I'm just destroying these things. And then there's a vine, though, that's growing on our deck. And so I see this little vine. It's kind of cute little thing. I'm like, maybe I'll keep it. And then instead, you know, I just chopped it at the root. And I left it on the deck. I was like, I'm just going to see what happens. So I cut off this little section. And it was crazy. Like within, I don't even know, maybe 2 hours, this thing was withering. It's the hot, humid sun of Nashville, Tennessee, and those leaves were dropping. It was dying like that. And I just thought, I'm like, man, if the separation from the vine can make this thing wither that fast, how much faster do we in the spiritual life wither so fast when we are not rooted in God? And I think about John 15. Could we pull that up? He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. I've tried. I can do nothing apart from him. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There is not much effort for the branch. Don't you love that? You don't have to do much except just abide. You don't have to create your own nutrients. You don't have to call up the fertilizer guy. You know, you don't have to force some fruit through your little shoot. I don't know what it does. I'm not a gardener. But you don't have to do anything. Your sole mission is to abide. And the nutrients flows through and you create the fruit of the vine. And the rest of that parable says, and as you bear fruit, your Father God prunes you so you will bear more fruit. Abide, what does it mean? It means to continue to be present. It means to be held and kept continually, to remain as one. And my definition, the way I've come to understand it, is throughout my day, I want to live aware of him and dependent on him. Throughout every day, am I aware of Jesus and am I depending on him? To me, that is abiding, and I think that's what is laid out here. That is our goal as the Christian, just abide, that's it. Abide in him and he'll do the rest. He'll bear the fruit. And what is the fruit? Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me if you know it, come on. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of that comes that we abide. And every church that has failed didn't fail because they weren't doing enough. They failed because they stopped abiding. Anytime I have fallen into sin or gotten off or fleshly or anything wasn't because I wasn't like doing enough good works. It's because I stopped abiding. But the moment I start abiding, God is so kind that he removes those things and he lets his life flow through me again. And anything that was withering in me was made whole again, and I come back to life. Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for the water, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? That is desperate, and that is holy, and that is what the Christian should look like. Man, my soul longs to just come into his presence. And I just want to say, if anyone today, this morning, is feeling withered, are you feeling depressed? Are you feeling anxious, stressed, worried? Are you just feeling like dead inside, cold? The answer is Jesus. It's a simple answer, and it's a life-changing answer. It's him. It is just simply abide, and the invitation is always open. The invitation to receive Jesus into your heart and a fresh filling of his spirit is always, always, always extended. The Bible says he's at the door knocking on your heart. If you open the door, he'll come and sit with you and dine with you. The door is, that invitation's always open. Could we pull up John 7? On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who thirsts may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone, everybody believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered his glory. Jesus is saying this morning, come to him. Come to him. It's an invitation, and all you have to do is respond. We need to be with him. We get to be with him. And honestly, the world needs us to be with him. I love that worship song. We haven't done it in years, but it says, for the sake of the world, light a fire in me. Right? There's people around you, man. Like, everybody around you needs to know. Peter and John, what did they say? It says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Everybody needs to know this, guys. Like, and not just know it and hear it, but see it. Is he living in your life? Or is he saved you? Is the gospel working and refining you? Are you being sanctified, right? They need to see it and they need to hear it. Your kids, your spouse, your parents, your siblings, your friends, your coworkers, everybody, man, they are better off. That's the first place to start. They saw the guy who was lame from birth for 40 years and everyone would like throw him a couple coins and walk past him. They did what Jesus did. They saw him and they gave him something he truly wanted. They said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. Stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. They grabbed his hand, they lifted him. They saw him. Are you seeing the people around you? Or are you only seeing yourself? If you're not abiding, you're only seeing yourself. You become selfish. But when you abide, when we abide, we see the people around us. They were aware of what God wanted to do. Have you ever like landed in a situation and you weren't prayed up? You weren't like abiding in God? You just weren't aware of him. And then suddenly someone says something like, yeah, can you pray with me? Like, how do I get saved? And you're like, whoa, let me think through. I'm not in the zone right now. I'm not in the spirit. Like, we need to be ready. We need to be aware of what he wants to do. When you go into a situation, whatever it is, you're going through life, you're going to work, like, be, if you're abiding in him, you're aware of what he wants to do. And you can have confidence to say, get up and walk. You can have faith and confidence because he is living in you and he's telling you, like, hey, that person I want you to pray for. That person I want you to buy their meal. That person I want you to give this word of encouragement, whatever it is. They saw the person in need, and they knew what God wanted to do. They were filled with the Spirit. They were given the wisdom and the words to testify of Jesus. When we abide in him, he gives us the words. He says we don't have to worry about it. Just trust him. When someone asks a question, you're ready because you're abiding in him. And they were bold against opposition. We have a lot of opposition in this world right now, right? We got to be bold. We got to be bold, and we got to be loving. And they were unafraid of the men, the rulers who said, stop saying Jesus, stop talking about him. They were unafraid. And you know, the fear of God frees you from the fear of man. If you are having a lot of fear of man, chances are you're caring more about what man thinks than what God thinks. I've been there. That was my problem. The fear of God freed me from the fear of man. And they returned to prayer and worship and were filled again with the Spirit. The world needs people like that right there. The world needs people like that. And guess what? It has them. The world has the people like that. It's you and it's me. And the simplicity of the gospel for us now that we're saved is abide. Abide in him and he'll do the rest. Abide in him. Be filled with his Spirit. Be filled with his life. Be surrendered. Just get everything out of the way and make him first. Have your priorities straight. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Is he King? Is he seated at the center of your heart? And all other things just fail in comparison to him. Is he what you're searching after? If you're abiding in him, the world has exactly what it needs. It has someone pointing them to him. Jesus has called you. If you're in this place, Jesus has called you. 1 Peter 2:9, can we pull that verse up? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called you out. It's the truth. He's called you out of darkness. He's called you into his light. You are in the light of God when you know Jesus. All darkness, all demonic influence, all evil things flee. And maybe at first it's going to feel kind of like, you don't know what's going on. Maybe at first you're responding in anger. Maybe you're responding in anxiousness or fear when God highlights something in your life. Oh, but God only highlights darkness in your life to free you. God only highlights sin to set you free. He doesn't want to make you feel guilty and condemn you. That's what the devil does. He highlights it and says, son and daughter, man, you are made for more. You need to be freed. And he lifts you up out of the darkness into his light. That's what he does. He's loving. He's kind. He's gentle. He's compassionate. That is the Jesus that we serve. So he's called us into his marvelous light. It says that in 2 Corinthians, I don't have this, but he says we're ambassadors of Christ. You're going through your day. You're not representing yourself in the workspace. You're not representing like what you're good at. You're representing him. You're an ambassador. You're a representative of Jesus. It says that God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You've been called, guys. He's coming back soon. You've been called and equipped with the message. That the message is the power. You're not the power. Your own skills are not the power. The power is the message of reconciliation. All you're called to do is just be an ambassador. Abide and represent. Reflect him. Reflect his light. He says we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand that you should walk into. Think about that. Before you were born, he had amazing things that he wanted you to do. Without him, you can't do them. With him, abiding, you know what they are. You're equipped to do them, and you walk in them. Every single day, we need him. We have him. Amen. Can we read verse 29? And the worship band can come up. Chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their heart, their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through your name, your holy name of your servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. We need to be shaken by the Holy Spirit. We need to be shaken. Thank you. I want to talk to a few people, not specifically, but I feel like there's some people in here that the Lord has been speaking to. Has been speaking to your heart, and you just feel that you need to respond. Maybe there's someone in here that has realized, I've never actually given my life to Jesus. Like, hearing the gospel, that he's the answer to everything, that he's freed me from my sin, from the darkness. He set me free so I can live eternity with him, and he's what I've actually been searching for. Maybe you heard that today, and it all made sense, and you actually want to give your life to Jesus this morning. And with every eye closed, every head bowed, I just want to extend the invitation. If Jesus is knocking on your heart and you feel his Holy Spirit drawing you into this moment, to just respond, yes. Open the door to your heart and let him in. Let him heal you. Let him free you. If that is you, would you just raise your hand right now? Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, God, that you still heal and you still forgive and you still free, Lord. Thank you that the gospel has power. Thank you for the cross. And I just want to pray. You can pray with me under your breath. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died for my sin, that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and my Lord. From this day forward, guide me, guide my life, and help me do your will. I pray this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. And now begins for you the adventure of abiding and walking as you look hopefully towards heaven, eternity with him. And maybe there's some other people that just realize, man, like, and there's no condemnation. This is me, too, throughout my life, many, many times. You may feel like, hey, I haven't actually been abiding in him lately. I've been distracted. I've been tolerating some sin. I've been okay with some stuff in my life that shouldn't be there. And you don't have to raise your hand unless you want to, but if that's you, if you just want to abide again, if you want his life to flow through you, if you want him to prune the stuff out of your life that's not meant to be there, just pray to him right now. Can we just pray to him? Jesus, we thank you, God. We set our attention on you, Lord. We focus on you, God. You're worth it. You're worthy of it all, Lord. You're holy. Lord, you're so holy. We lift you up in our hearts, God, and put you in the place where you should be, on the throne. Lord, may you fill us afresh, God, this morning with your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh this morning, God, with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Would our lives be shaken like in the days of Acts, God? Would our hearts be moved by your voice again? Would your church, Lord, reflect the light of your glory to a dark world that needs you, God? Would I, in my mornings and my evenings and all throughout my day, would I abide in you, God? I'm not settling for less. I'm done. I'm done chasing after things that don't matter, and I chase after the one thing that does. you. You're worthy of it all, Lord. Fill me again.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss His Word. Don't forget to join us for Worship Live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.